Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel as his own possession. For I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes the lightnings for the rain, and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings. Shiloh, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdom of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout the ages, for the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion. He who dwells in Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 28. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king, and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians, that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and he slept. Sleep fled from him. Then at break of day the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied to you, I make a decree, that in all my royal dominion people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, he who saved Daniel from the power of the lions. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all things that is in the world, the desires of flesh, the desires of eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Good morning. This is Tim Tribble coming to you from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Psalm 135, Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 to 28, and 1 John chapter 2 verses 12 to 17. Today's readings are about the Lord, our God, who endures forever. That Psalm 135 is titled, Your Name, O Lord, Endures Forever. And the story we have from Daniel chapter 6, so we had chapter 3, we already heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were saved from the fire. Well, these same guys came back around, so now we have King Darius. So the kings have changed, but Daniel and his folks, they're still very much in power in the country. So Daniel is set up over all the satraps, and he's the one who's doing the day-to-day business for the king. They don't like this. They don't like Daniel, these satraps and other officials. So they trick the king into making a decree that no one can worship anyone for 30 days but the king. Because they knew Daniel every day, three times a day, would go up and pray in his room with the window facing to Jerusalem. And of course he got caught, and the king was upset about this, but because of the way they made the rule, he couldn't do anything about it. He had to put Daniel in the lion's den. He says, I hope your God saves you. God did. He sent an angel. And in the morning, he came and Daniel was still alive. And this is the story of how being true to our faith, in spite of worldly pressures, rewards us. And in 1 John, the same concept is there in the reading. And this is entitled, the second part of it, starting at verse 15, is titled, Do Not Love the World. And this has been taught for years and years in different fashions, but it's always about, you know, don't do things of the world. And people have taken us to various and sundry different extremes, depending on what they wanted to suit them. This is simply about putting God first. That's all it is. We don't have to not participate. We don't have to not do things. It's just put God first. Don't go after the desires of the flesh. Don't go after the eyes and pride of life. So all these things that we have in the world, social markers, if you will, you know, you should make this kind of income, you should have this kind of job, all the systems that we have in place, you know, the guy who's a lawyer is better than the guy who picks up the garbage, until your garbage stacks up 10 feet high and then you kind of want the garbage guy around. All these things in the world, God loves all of us equally, and God looks at all of us as equals. So it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, or what color your skin is, what gender you are, what your orientation, whatever it is, your income level, any of this stuff does not matter. What matters is not having pride in possessions. What matters is not going after every desire of the eye. You got to have the latest car, and we used to call it, as old folks, we call it keeping up with the Joneses. You know, your neighbor, he bought a fancy car, I got to have a fancy car. We got a fancy house, I got to buy a fancy house. All these things that we charge through life, and it consumes us trying to maintain some form of a status. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to put him first. And by putting God first, and what I mean by putting God first, that's kind of, what is that? How do you do that? We say a lot of things. What are the action items? The action item is love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So for being Christians and putting God first are our actions. So we treat people differently. We don't get caught up in having the fancy car, the fancy house, the fancy clothes, the latest tech item, all this stuff that we spend our money on. We're supposed to use that for the glory of God. We do for the glory of God when we help others. When we go down, when you work, spend time down, volunteering at your local veteran group, or volunteering to go into schools to read, or going into wherever it is and working with others, prison ministry, all those kind of things where we go out and we do things for others, those are the things that are pleasing to God. Those are the things, those are the action items, how we can show our love for God. This flies in the face of the prosperity gospel, and it should. God is not a celestial ATM machine. Worshipping God and putting God first does not mean that God's going to... It means God's going to reward you. It does mean that. But what it doesn't mean is that reward is going to be in cash. It doesn't mean it's going to be in a fancy house, that you're going to get, quote, lucky, and or whatever in your business, or you're going to get promoted or whatever. That's not what God's there for. That's not how God works. He's not our fairy godfather. God is here for us to have a more selfless life. And when we look at the ministry of Jesus, it was completely 100% about self-sacrifice. You cannot go to the Holy Land, and this was the house of Jesus. Jesus didn't have a house. Jesus didn't have all these markers of life back then. That was one of the things he railed against. Because, and this is, you know, exactly what it says there in Scripture, don't be caught up in the things of the world. Be caught up in the things of God. Be caught up in praying. Be caught up in pray for something and then take action to make it work. That's how prayer works. We pray to God for the homeless, as an example. I work in a homeless ministry at my parish. So we pray for the homeless. It doesn't stop there. We also collect food. We have a budget, line item budget. We go out, and every month we go out and we distribute food to the homeless out where they're at on the street. And we talk to them and we give them, refer them to the help that they need if they want it. That's how prayer works. We pray for something, then you take action for it. And we do this in the name of God. And that's how it works. So when we praise God, when we say, what's a good Christian do? A good Christian is the one who stands up, loves your neighbor as yourself, stands up for those who are unable to stand up for themselves. That's what we're here for. Amen.
A prayer for peace from the Book of Common Prayer. Eternal God, in whose perfect kingdom no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, no strength known but the strength of love, so mightily spread abroad your Spirit that all peoples may be gathered under the banner of the Prince of Peace, as children of one Father, to whom be dominion and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.